From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A major New York Times investigation published this week has uncovered that President Donald Trump engaged in what appears to be tax fraud in order to keep as much of his parents' inheritance as possible. The bombshell story on the cover of the paper was entitled, Trump engaged in suspect tax schemes as he reaped riches from his father. It details how Trump received at least $413 million in today's dollars from his father's real estate empire, much of it through tax dodges in the 1990s. The reporters pointed out that Mr. Trump won the presidency proclaiming himself a self-made billionaire, and he has long insisted that his father, the legendary New York City builder Fred C. Trump, provided almost no financial help. A Trump lawyer released a statement after the piece was published saying that the Times' allegations of fraud and tax evasion are 100% false and highly defamatory. There was no fraud or tax evasion by anyone. Now, in the wake of the report, the New York State Tax Department is reportedly looking into potential wrongdoing by the Trump family. My guest is Frank Clemente, Executive Director of Americans for Tax Fairness. Welcome to the program, Frank.
Hi, Ali. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. Of course, to see this piece in the New York Times was not surprising at all. This is exactly the kind of thing one would expect Donald Trump to do. It kind of is consistent with his secrecy over his tax returns. He has said during his, I remember the presidential debates, that to try to minimize one's tax bill is a smart thing to do. He doesn't see it as fraud. But still, I suppose the extent to which he has benefited from this potential tax dodging is quite stunning. What were your responses when you first saw this piece?
No, it's quite remarkable. I mean, this was a scheme that had been underway for many years, even before Donald Trump Jr. himself knew about it. He was getting a couple $100,000 a year as a toddler from his father. But it clearly, based on the New York Times story, Donald Trump himself was in on the fix at least as early as the 1990s. He knew how the sham corporation was operating, which that was set up as a way to get money funneled tax-free to a trust, which then he inherited along with his siblings. He knew how the large properties that were worth tens, hundreds of millions of dollars, how undervalued those were being estimated on their tax returns. And that was another way to give over to the siblings essentially tax-free money. The Times story estimated that they avoided at least $500 million in estate taxes over this period of time. So it's a massive fraud. I use the word delicately. Fraud implies criminal activity. I think there certainly appears that there was a lot of the criminal activity. Let's just call it at least a massive tax dodge that was going on by his family, and he was in on the fix.
So this type of estate tax is what the Republicans like to call the death tax, right? I mean, they've wanted to do away with this for a long time. They like the idea of people who are already wealthy being able to pass on as much of their wealth to their children as possible without sharing any of it with other taxpayers, with the government. And so just to tease into what you said, essentially, it sounds like it wasn't just Trump, but his siblings and his parents who kind of worked together to minimize the value of their assets in order to minimize the tax bill, right?
Yeah, well, certainly the father, working with his accountants and business associates, has set this up. At some point, Donald came in on it. I'm sure when he became, a successful business person, he got in on it. My guess would be that Donald is using some of these same activities, tax dodging activities. You will recall there was a story a couple of years ago how his son Eric received a couple of condominiums. I think it was in Trump Tower, maybe it was in another building he owned. Essentially, Eric paid for them at a fraction of what the value of those things were. That looks like exactly the kind of tax dodge that the Times reported that Donald Trump benefited from.
It's pretty incredible if you look at the journalistic work that went into doing this. I just want to quote from the article because, of course, the reporters have to make the case for how they arrive at their conclusions. And they say that their findings, there were three reporters altogether, and I should even say their names because it's so important to give them credit, David Barstow, Suzanne Craig, and Russ Buettner. And they said that their findings are based on interviews with Fred Trump's former employees and advisors, more than 100,000 pages of documents describing the inner workings and immense profitability of his empire. They include documents culled from public sources, mortgages and deeds, probate records, financial disclosure reports, regulatory records, and civil court files. Also, it draws on tens of thousands of pages of confidential records, bank statements, financial audits, accounting ledgers, cash disbursement reports, invoices and cancel checks, so on and so forth. They did get access to some tax returns from Fred Trump. But they do say that it's unlikely Trump would be vulnerable to criminal prosecution for helping his parents evade taxes because the acts happened too long ago and are past the statute of limitations. There is no time limit, however, on civil fines for tax fraud. And we know that the state of New York is looking into this. Any sense of what the consequences could be for Trump as he's sitting in the White House?
Well, certainly, and I certainly hope that the IRS is going to be opening an investigation here. They need to be independent of the president.
And how did the IRS miss this in the 1980s and 90s? I mean, this is the kind of thing they should have been catching.
You know, hey, they don't pull the curtain back to help us understand. There were times where they were in negotiations with Fred Trump over whether or not he was, shading the truth and hiding income and hiding things. There were audits that were taking place. We will not find out about this until committees in Congress do a serious investigation and the IRS itself does a serious investigation. As you may know, for the last 3 years, we have been calling for Trump to release his tax returns. We've run campaigns with the public and lobbying Congress. We had about almost all the Democrats signed a discharge petition. About 200 members of Congress signed a discharge petition last year. You need 218 people to sign a discharge petition, which would have forced him to release his tax returns. We did not get to the 218 because the Republicans blocked it and the Democrats don't have the majority in Congress. But we are going to demand, as a first order of business, as part of the Democrats are preparing an anti-corruption package as perhaps being the first bill. If they win control of Congress, it would be the first bill, number one, that they would propose. We think it ought to be, as part of that legislation, a requirement that all presidential candidates going forward, all presidential candidates and all presidents, sitting presidents, have to release their tax returns. This is why Trump, this is one of the big reasons, I believe, why Trump has refused to release his tax returns, unprecedented. Every president for the last 40 years, every presidential candidate for the last 40 years has released their tax returns. So he clearly has something to hide. We've learned that he had a lot to hide in terms of the U.S. taxes he was dodging and the inheritances he was getting from his father that he didn't want the public to know about because he bragged about being a self-made billionaire. But we also suspect, given the solicitousness, given how he kowtows to Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, that there is deeply hidden in his tax returns evidence, information that would allow some tracing of some financial connection, at least to oligarchs in Russia. As you know, the oligarchs are extremely close to Putin. They prop up the government there financially. And we think there's some real hidden stuff there that he wants to avoid. Trump, you have to understand, he has the Trump Corporation, I think it's the Trump Organization, is 500 businesses that roll up and become the Trump Organization. Each one of those, has its own financial reporting, its own profit center, and its own schedules that they report to the IRS as well. So it's a morass, and you can imagine the kind of secret stuff that's going on there.
A morass probably by design, right? It's interesting, the article, just to pick up on what you said about Trump claiming that he was a self-made man. This is part of his stated public persona. But the New York Times article points out that by age 3, Trump was earning $200,000 a year in today's dollars from his father's empire. He was a millionaire by age 8. And so on and so forth. And that, you know, all of the claims he has made about the $1 million loan that he got to start his empire turns out to have been false. It was more like $14 million. And he's sort of repeatedly failed as a businessman and even been bailed out by family money. But the impression that he gives, especially his supporters and backers, is that if I can be rich and work hard and be ruthless, so can you. But inherited wealth is absolutely critical for the wealthy today. It really informs the sort of income inequality at the heart of this country. And ultimately, Frank, isn't it critical for us to put this in terms of stealing from the American people? If you dodge taxes, you are taking money out of the treasury, which goes towards benefiting the American people.
Sure. Well, as the New York Times investigative report points out, they estimated that the Trump family avoided at least $500 million in estate taxes over this period of time. My guess is it's probably, if you add in gift taxes too, it's probably even much higher than that. So this kind of goes to, I mean, this is, again, we want Trump's tax returns because we want to know how he benefited from the tax law that he and the Republicans ran through Congress last December. We call that one Tax Scam 1. You know, they gave away, we lost $2 trillion in that. The vast majority of the benefits went to corporations and the richest Americans. And money, when corporations get big tax cuts, most of that trickles down to the shareholders. And the CEOs and the shareholders are overwhelmingly in the top 10%. It's not trickling down to workers, mind you. Trump promised workers a $4,000 pay raise. That ain't happening. You know, a small number of workers got bonuses. Some workers got a minimum wage hike. But it amounts to a very tiny fraction of what corporations are doing with their tax cut, which is mostly buying back their own stock. By buying back their own stock, they raise the value, the price of that stock. And the more expensive that stock is, the richer the people who own the stock become, which means the CEOs who get paid mostly in stock, they're getting a lot richer. And the workers at the bottom aren't getting anything from this tax cut from their employers.
So let's talk about tax cuts 2.0. So Trump likely enriched himself and certainly his friends in the business community with the first round of tax cuts. And now they want to make some of these tax cuts that they passed last year permanent. Tax reform 2.0 is what some are calling it. Given the tax dodging attitude that Trump has apparently had from a very young age, we shouldn't be surprised that this is such a big part of his agenda. What should we expect in the next few months once the sort of Kavanaugh scandal eventually dies down?
Well, so Tax Scam 2, which is this, as you say, it's the tax law that passed in December. The corporate tax cuts were permanent. The tax breaks for individuals were temporary through 2025. So this bill that they passed the House last week, it extends them for another 10 years starting in 2026. It costs $3 trillion. It actually costs more than the first tax scam. And the most of the benefits are going to the wealthiest Americans, of course, as usual. So it passed the House. There's a chance it could come up in the lame duck session of Congress. The lame duck session is that period of time after the election. Things could be quite disruptive if the power is going to change in January. But in that last period in November, December, if the Republicans are losing power, there is a chance they could try and ram this tax scam too through the Senate. And then Trump, of course, would sign that. So we have to be vigilant. We have to be on guard. And we will be there to fight that if they try and do that. Assuming the Democrats take over Congress, we are going to be pushing them very hard for a proactive, progressive tax reform agenda that raises a whole lot of money from the rich and corporations, roll back a lot of the Trump tax cuts, but adds new tax revenue to the Treasury so that we have the money to make sure that Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, education are fully funded, and to make the kinds of investments we need in, debt-free assistance for college loan programs, help people go to college for free, at least a community college, for rebuilding our infrastructure, for affordable childcare and pre-K education for at least all four-year-olds, on and on. There's a huge investment deficit here in America in our people and in our infrastructure, and we've got to fix that. And the only way we're going to fix that is by making the rich and corporations pay their fair share of taxes.
Now, Frank, your organization is called Americans for Tax Fairness. So you call for a fair tax system. Republicans and conservatives who back these tax cuts would say, absolutely nobody should be taxed this much. We want to cut taxes for corporations, for wealthy Americans, for middle class, and for poor Americans. And so we saw in the first round of tax cuts last year that there was essentially what amounted to a bit of a bribe, a temporary bribe, on paper at least, for some Americans. Oh, look, you're going to get back some money. First of all, do you think that talking point worked when people have discovered that that's sort of being overstated? And second of all, are they going to double down on that? Are they going to try to say nobody should be taxed? So forget about tax fairness. We think what's fair is let's reduce taxes across the board, which, of course, in the end, defunds Medicaid and Medicare.
Well, I think the most important thing for folks to understand that it really was a con game that they did. And here's why. So they passed this bill, the law. Trump signed it into law in December. It loses $2 trillion. In February, Trump proposed his budget for the next. A budget is for 10 years. He proposed his budget. It cut about $3 trillion, half of which was coming from Medicare, Medicaid, and the Affordable Care Act. The House Republicans, they put their budget out, just shortly after Trump did his budget, and they were cutting $5 trillion, and they were cutting $2 trillion. Essentially, they were paying for their corporate tax cuts and tax cuts for the rich by cutting Medicare and Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act. So they claim they're giving you a middle class tax cut, which is mostly going to the rich and corporations on the one hand, and then they come back and say and take it away. They don't tell you this, but that's what they're doing. They're taking it away because they say, oh, the deficit's now too high. We've got to close the deficit gap, even though that's what their tax cut did. It wasn't paid for, so balloon the deficit. They come back and they say, all right, we've got to control spending now. And so we got to cut the things that protect your family, education, healthcare, et cetera. And so that's the con game that's going on.
So there, of course, if the House changes hands after November, things could change. But how critical is it for activism from the grassroots, from the bottom up, to keep the pressure regardless of who's in power? Tax issues are a tricky one. Very few people like to say they want to be taxed more. And so, of course, tax fairness is one way of putting it. What are some talking points that you or resources that you can offer to members of the public who really want, properly funded Treasury to keep our social safety net intact?
Great question. First, your folks can go to our website, AmericansForTaxFairness.org, and right there on the banner is the materials for the tax scam to fight, and there's a set of talking points right there that you can link to and download. We are winning the message. The public, two-thirds of the public understand that the tax cuts that were passed last year are mostly going to corporations and the rich, and it jeopardizes funding for Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and education. So the public's with us. The public gets us. I call Democrats fair-weather friends on these tax issues. They're reasonably comfortable taxing the rich more. They're very conflicted over taxing corporations more. Corporate tax, corporations just got a tax cut of 40%. It went from 35% all the way down to 21%. And on the profits they're making offshore now, they're paying half of that. They're paying about 10%. And so it's going to be a lot of work to get Democrats. And remember, the Democratic caucus is not a uniform group. I mean, there's progressives, there's folks in the middle, and there's folks kind of on the conservative side, too. So there's a lot of pressure is going to need to be applied. If let's assume they win the House, at least even the Senate, no matter what, you're going to have to pull up the public. We have to have a movement. I say we have to get religion on taxes, right? The Republicans have had religion on taxes for decades. And it's both taxes and shrink government down. We have to have a very different vision, which is the only way we can afford better health care, affordable health care, child care, rebuilding our roads and bridges is if we pay more taxes. And we've got to start, there's lots of ways to raise lots of money from taxing the rich and taxing corporations and making a much fairer tax system. That's the movement we need to build. Whether you're out there advocating for education or child care or what have you, you need to have a tax message as part of it. You need to be demanding of your members of Congress that you're not going to deal with the deficit by cutting spending. There's no place to cut spending. We need to protect our families. That means we need to raise more revenue to ensure better investments and stronger Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
Well, Frank, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to your website from our site. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sonali. Bye.
Frank Clemente is the Executive Director of Americans for Tax Fairness. We've been discussing Trump's tax fraud schemes personally and also politically, the ones that he's engaged in with the GOP to push forward a new round of tax cuts. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.